May all of you take your Bibles and turn to the book of Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3. There are worksheets on the back table if you are so inclined. Title of our lesson tonight is simply peer pressure. Peer pressure. In the book of Revelation, chapter 12, verse 11, we find these words, "And they overcame him," that being the evil one, "by the blood of the Lamb, and by the words of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death." Peer pressure in our society is strong. It is real. To look good. To earn good money. To keep up with the Joneses, to wear the right shoes, drive the right car, live in the right neighborhood, go to the right places while on vacation. Peer pressure to be the right husband, the right dad, the right grandparents. You ever watch people? Anybody here people watchers? Even here at the church, you watch people. Sometimes I watch Paul as he interacts with his granddaughters when they come. And, you know, it's always neat to see a grandpa showing love to his grandchildren. Or sometimes I watch Bob as he teases with his grandkids. And, you know, we find that there's a peer pressure to be as good as they are. And sometimes peer pressure is good, right? But a lot of times peer pressure can cause us to do that which is wrong. We are going to look at three well-known characters found in the Bible that were put to the ultimate peer pressure test with their lives at stake. The book of Daniel, chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you think this was being built in secret? That they just were suddenly going to have it show up one day? Or do you think people knew about it for weeks and months ahead of time? They heard that this image was being made. Verse 2, "Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up." Now, I do not know how many people this would be, but I would say it would be a large group, wouldn't you say? Verse 3, "Then the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together under the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up." Now, it's not a period, but we're going to stop there, that the king had set up. You know, it's always nice to be invited to something if you're a politician. That you can go and people can see you and you can see them and you can rub shoulders with the top people in the country. And so they had been invited to come and to see this image that they had heard of for long periods of time. And it says, "And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up." So far, so good. They stood looking. And maybe the sun was shining just right and it was glistening in the sunlight and people were impressed and the media was going around getting quotes to put in the next newspaper. Well, that, I've added that. But they were there standing up. Verse 4. "Then an herald cried aloud, 'To you it is what? Commanded. To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, Then at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. Peer pressure. You know, we live in a world that we kind of ponder, Lord, why is church become something that people just don't do like they once did? Well, why is it that so many people take church for granted? Here we find these men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, live in a foreign country with lots of religion, but they would have to live in a society that was totally pagan. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, as we think of the peer pressure that is in our own lives, Lord, may we make the right decisions to be faithful to you. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Point number one, if you're using the worksheet, conviction. Conviction. What do you do when the decree of the land is contrary to your faith? What do you do when the decree of the land is contrary to your faith? When it is not what you believe is scripturally right, when it is not what you think is right in our society. But notice this next thought. What do you do when everybody is doing what you believe is not only wrong, but it comes with a consequence? It comes with a consequence. What do you do when it's contrary to your faith and it comes with a consequence if you don't do it? Conviction. Wanting to do right, no matter the cost. Wanting to do right, no matter the cost. I'm going to tell you this, sometimes having conviction is very costly. Sometimes it's going to separate you from loved ones, neighbors, fellow workers, because you will not live their lifestyle. And because you won't do it, they think you're judging them and they feel uncomfortable around you. So that when you walk in the room or you come near where they're at, suddenly things become quiet. People point at you and say, they're the ones that don't want to have any fun. They're the judgmental ones. Conviction. Number two, courage. Courage, beginning at verse 8. Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. So these people have come to Nebuchadnezzar, and they rehearse what has been said about needing to fall down and worship the golden image. Verse 12. There are certain Jews. Now, let me say here, I have written in my Bible, amen. Amen for those who are willing to make a stand no matter the cost. That have conviction. Continuing. Whom thou hast set over the affairs of the provinces of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Can I ask you a question? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were those their given name at birth? No. Their names had been changed to honor false gods. And so they had to work hard at continuing to serve the Lord Jehovah. They haven't regarded thee. Now, that's going to make Nebuchadnezzar feel really good, right? They've got free thinking. That's all right. No, that's going to bother him because they are not listening to the decree. Verse 13, then Nebuchadnezzar in his rage and fury commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? You ever try to put the names in another order? Have you ever tried to say Meshach, Shadrach, Abednego? It doesn't roll off your tongue, does it? But it's always Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up. Now, if you be ready that at the what time ye hear the sound of, and I'm not going to go through all the musical instruments again, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well, you know, I'm a reasonable guy. You know, I really don't want to have to replace you. You know, I don't want to make a scene here. But if you do what I've asked, well, everything's going to be okay. Yes. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? I mean, after all, your God couldn't keep you from being taken over by the Babylonian Empire. So who is this God that's going to keep you safe now? And I'm wondering if somebody came up beside them and said, you know, he's given you a second chance. You know, you ought to just bow down. And nobody really is worshiping him. It just is appearance. Notice, though, verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar. You know, the fact is, it took courage for these men, number one, not to bow down. Apparently, everyone else did. Apparently, they stood out like sore thumbs. A willingness to do right, no matter the cost. Conviction is wanting to do right. Courage is a willingness to do right. And we find in verse 16, they said, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Doing right can be costly. Do you remember the movie that came out a couple of decades ago, Chariots of Fire? And we think of the young Scotsman who was a fast runner, Eric Little, and how he went to represent his country in the Great Britain in the Olympics. And when he found out that the trial races, or those that would lead up to the final gold medal race, was held on a Sunday, he said, no, I will not do it. And it stirred quite a ruckus, not only in the Olympic Village, but back home, as news came in that this man would not run because it was on a Sunday. Fortunately, they worked out a system where he ran another race, one that he didn't normally do, the 400 meter, and ended up winning the gold medal there. But doing right can be costly. Doing right can be fatal. It takes courage, ladies and gentlemen, to stand up for the cause of Christ. There are times that you may be teased and ridiculed. There may be times that they'll say certain things about you. I remember being called preacher and deacon, and sometimes they would say, "Preach," and so I would, and then they would leave because they really didn't want me to preach. But they wanted me to be just like them. But one needs to have conviction. One needs to have courage. And sometimes when you have these, you will be, number three, condemned. You will be condemned. Verse 19. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. He went from being good cop to bad cop, all in a moment of time. Let's heat up that furnace. Let's make them know that they are going to pay for their insurrection. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Can I say this very quickly? Hundreds, thousands, millions of believers have died for making a stand for the Lord. Many have been told that if they did not recant their new faith in this so-called Christianity, they would pay a price. And that price was being burned at the stake, being beheaded, being tortured, being mutilated. How many through the years have suffered for doing right? Have suffered. Ponder this. I do not know who wrote it. The storm may be bigger than us, but God is bigger than the storm. He's bigger than the storm. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they declared to Nebuchadnezzar that our God will take us away, was right. He would either take them in their death, or he would give them deliverance. Number four, conquerors. Conquerors. Verse 24. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and arose up in his haste and spake and said unto the counselors, "Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire?" They answered and said unto the king, "True, O king." He answered and said, "Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." Conquerors, victorious, winners, courageous. You know, football season is upon us. We know that the high school fields will be lit up and people will come to watch the games, and they'll go to stadiums around the country to watch colleges and universities play. And there will be then the professional ranks, and they'll show up at fewer stadiums, obviously, but they'll be screaming and having tailgate parties, and there'll be an excitement because they hope their team will be victorious. But the question is for the born-again believer, are we more than conquerors? Can we stand proud for the cause of Christ? Isaiah 12:2. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. 1 Chronicles 16:29a. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Do that which is right. Conquerors, because they did right. They did right. We've all heard and read Isaiah 40, verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Which brings us to the conclusion, beginning at verse 26. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come thither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their hair singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Peer pressure. Sometimes it is good and compels us to do right. Now, would Shadrach have stood up by himself without Meshach and Abednego? We don't know. Would Abednego been willing to stand if his two friends just bowed down? Would he have remained? It's hard to say. But because the three of them stood together, they were a group that was victorious. But be careful. Sometimes peer pressure is bad and leads us to betray our Lord. Let's read verses 29 and 30. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language would speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Now we know that down through the ages, many have died for the faith without the victory coming over the flames. But they all received a welcome home and a well done. May I say this? We should rather hear the well done of our Creator God than of some ruler or someone in a place of authority that is against our God. Never forget, let us give glory due unto his name. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be here and to look into these words that you have given to us. Thank you for men and women like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that were willing to serve you faithfully no matter what. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.